something that we've actually taken a look at in a couple of different settings over the last week, a scripture that I want to reread and reread and reread so it soaks in on you. It's the same thing we did, the same passage we used last night over at Athens and at Marietta. And what I'd like to ask you to do is I want you to, there's a creative flow in this. I want to take a passage of Scripture or a verse, and this will minister to the young, the kids and the teenagers here tonight too as they're receiving it. And I want to take 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And Gary, I'm going to cue you in a minute. Have you started recording yet? Okay, pause it. And I'm going to ask, if you're born again, you have God in you. You not only have God in you, you have His presence in you, you have His power in you, you have His perspective in you, you have His priorities in you. Literally, what's important to God is what's important to you. You may not know that, or you may know that a lot of the time and yet get distracted by bad circumstances, bad situations, problems. But do you realize, I know you do, so let me remind you, your problems are not permanent. But God is. Your attitude isn't permanent. But God is. Your financial need is not permanent. But God's kingdom is. Even when you're called and have a heart for ministry, and that when it even looks like it's not going anywhere, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Circumstances will change, but God is the same forever. And a fair amount of the people that are part of this congregation have a ministry call. And one of the frustrations is that it doesn't look like they're going anywhere, or that we're going anywhere, or that, you know, or that we've shrunk up in size and shrunk up in finances. Those are just circumstances and situations which are going to change again, probably more than once, just like they have more than a few times over the number of years that we've been together as a congregation. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you're born again, you're not puny. You're not a dinky person. You're not powerless. You have the power of the Creator in you. And God wants you to be reminded of that. And as I soak you, when I say soak you, what I mean is I just want you to hear this. Not only hear, but hear, and more importantly, hear, so that something inside of you or someone inside of you gets stirred up again to quit putting up with anything that you ought not to be putting up with the way they are or the way things are. And so I want to take a verse of Scripture and I just want to soak you with it over and over and over for a little bit tonight. And Holy Spirit, in agreement with what Pastor Kim prayed, I ask you to teach, reveal, confirm, give vision, even to our teenagers and our preteens here tonight, as well as to the adults. Stir us up to believe you. Reveal more of who you are in us and who we are in you. Stir us up, O Lord. We don't have to put up with life in general because Jesus has overcome the world. Life has to tolerate us because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So, Lord, as we go through this Scripture and any and this prophetic word and anything else that you want to add tonight, I ask you to anoint it. Because it's your truth. So it is anointed. And anoint and enable us to understand more of this truth. In Jesus' name. Now let me do this. I want to read two verses of scripture from a different passage. Then I want to read a prophecy. Then I want to go into having you just relax and listen with your hearing ears what God says over and over and over from various translations. First of all, in Colossians 2, and this is written in printed in a very, very small size text. So I want to pull it up close. It's real tiny. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 from the Wade New Testament says, "Because it is in Him that the perfection of the Godhead dwells in its actuality. And in Him, who is the head of every angelic ruler and authority, you have attained to the fullness of your spiritual development." So in summary, God, the fullness of God, is in Jesus, actually and in actuality. Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, God lives in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You don't belong to yourself. You're not just another person. You're another king and a priest. You're a priestess. You are your heavenly Father's daughter. Literally, vitally, actually. Because as Jesus is, so are you in this world. So all of the fullness of God actually is in Jesus. And in your relationship with Jesus, you've become one with Him. You have already attained to full spiritual development. You know, you don't get taught that in most churches. Most churches teach you're growing into Christ. But that's not what the New Testament says. That's why we're dedicated here at Fresh Fire to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in Jesus' name. You are complete in Him. That's what the King James says. You are complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. You know what it means to be complete in Him? You're just like Jesus. Whether you know it, whether you show it, whether you realize it, whether you recognize it, when you are born again, you in union with Jesus, as He is, so are you in this world and forever. And I'm going to confirm that in prophecy and in a passage here in a minute. You already attain full spiritual development. You don't obtain it, get it yourself. You have attained it. It's been given to you. You're not growing up in Jesus. That's what we typically get taught. No, you're complete in Him. What you're doing is you feed on this Word. You're realizing it. You're recognizing it. And those written promises, as it dawns on you, they become truth to you, and they become foundational truth in you. And it changes your relationship to Jesus, your relationship to the Father, and it changes your relationship to people. Here's a good opportunity to just mention quickly the other direction I was kind of torn and going on. As an example, you know, in the Gospels, the Scripture says, "Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." Such as in Mark 11:25-26. And then another passage in the Gospels says, "And if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." You know, if you stop right there, it sounds like you have to earn God's forgiveness. When Jesus spoke those truths, they were still under the law. When Jesus spoke those principles, He was dealing with people who were hard-hearted by nature and who had offended God over and over and over and over. But the day that Jesus died at Calvary, He changed man's relationship to God forever. And through the death of Jesus, forgiveness was fully and forever given by God. And I've got a lot of scriptures in the New Testament I can begin to pull up and give you. But I don't want to go far in that direction tonight. But I will give you one or two of them that shows you can't afford to stay in the transitional truths in the Gospels and walk in New Testament victory, because you're not in the time span of the Gospels. They were transitional books. They were the introduction of Jesus, who was completing the law, fulfilling the law, who was putting away animal sacrifices, and was going to become the faithful high priest by whom and through whom we would have full access to God forever. And so in the Gospels, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 says, forgive one another, be tender-hearted toward one another, and forgive one another, even as God the Father has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are put away. 1 John chapter 2, if you read down through there, confirms it even from verse 1. So the transitional truth was, if you hold unforgiveness under the law, see, under the law of Moses, if you stand in unforgiveness, you'll be in judgment. And when you stand in judgment, the law convicts you of your sin. But in the new birth, your sins were laid upon Jesus at Calvary forever. Does that give you a right to sin? No, dead men don't have a right. You were crucified with Christ. So we're not settling for transitional truth. We are the New Testament body of Christ. Jesus took your sin upon Him. God is no, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, God is no longer imputing sin to man, because they were imputed to Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are forgiven. God's not holding anything against you. You may be holding it against yourself, and people will hold it against you when you offend them. But because of Jesus, the transitional truth, forgive and be forgiven, has already been fulfilled. You can forgive because you are forgiven. You can forgive yourself, and you can forgive others. Full truth has more grace than even transitional truth. Back in the Gospels, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to set captives free. And whatever you're captive to, Jesus has already set you free, because in Him you're complete. Now as we transition back into this passage, listen to this prophecy the Lord gave me that I want to pass on to you. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to say, prophesy. Prophesy the now and the completion. The now of who you are because of whose you are. The completion of what I have given to all of my children. And prophesy of the fullness of what is already available to them. Prophesy to my people. So I shall prophesy. You are complete. You are complete in me. You lack nothing. I have given you all things that pertain to life for the here and now and for all eternity. And I have given you godliness, which means that you are filled with righteousness, holiness, sanctification, transformation, and perfection. You are holy. You are righteous. You are consecrated. And you are perfected because I abide in you and you abide in me. I am your all in all. I am your Alpha and Omega. I am the captain of your salvation. I am the author and completer of your faith. I am your source of life. Through the new birth, you have been placed into me, and I began to dwell in you. We have become one. We are one together by the Spirit of grace, and we are one in the Father. My Father is your Father. My Spirit is now your Spirit. My life is your life. My love has become your love. You are partakers, sharers in my divine nature. In me you live, move, and have your complete being. As I am, so are you in this world, now and forevermore. I am now the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, which are fellow heirs of the grace of life. You are complete, which means you are perfected. And I have completely supplied you with everything that you'll ever need for victory, success, and prosperity in life. I am your victory. I am your success, and I am your prosperity. My Spirit reveals me to you, reveals my truth to you, and leads you into an increased revelation and understanding in the knowledge of me, so that you may abound unto every good work that I call you to. As you feed on revelation knowledge of me from my Spirit, my Father is also revealed to you, and your relationship as a child of God, and as an ambassador of me, and as a temple of the Holy Spirit, that relationship is enhanced. It is increased, and it is energized. I have already provided every blessing that heaven has to offer to you. It is yours now, and it's all a gift of grace. All things that you need are already available to you and is accessible by right of you being a king and a priest unto me. You already reign in life by the gift of righteousness through my grace and faith that abide within you. So you are loved. You are favored. You are enhanced. You are appreciated. You are anointed. You are energized. You are empowered. And you are fully authorized to declare what you have need of, and to receive it as an heir of God in my name. This right of dominion is yours by position, not condition, because of me, not yourself, by what I did for you, not by what you do or don't do. What is mine is yours, for we are in covenant relationship, declares the Lord. Now see, that's the spirit of truth. That just keeps pointing me to Jesus over and over and over and over and over. That confirms Daddy's care for us. And that confirms your completion. That confirms you have dynamite within this vessel. And the word for power, one of the key words for power in the Greek language in the New Testament, is the same root word that the word dynamite comes from, or comes out of in the English language. You have the dynamite power of God within you. So why shouldn't miracles be taking place? Why shouldn't people that you lay hands on, why should they not receive transformation? When you command healing to somebody in the name of Jesus, the healer is in you. When you command demonic oppression off of somebody, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Demonic powers have already been spoiled and stripped of their ability by Jesus. They have no authority to resist you. They that seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. So instead of getting mad at God when your needs look like they're not being met, God's already moved in your behalf. God doesn't have any money in heaven to send to you. But He already provided for your needs throughout this life and eternity, and it's already released into the earth. And as you come to know that truth and you speak that truth and you put pressure on the truth by faith in the reality that if God is for you, who can be against you? Then those circumstances and conditions will change in your behalf. Now I want to go into that verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. And I just want to ask that you just sit back, relax, and just listen. And as you're listening with your ears to what I repeat, hear with your heart and see with your spiritual eyes the picture that your Heavenly Father wants to draw for you, to stir you, and to confirm to you, you're a winner, not a loser. You've already won. You already have the victory in life. You cannot be defeated if you don't give up on life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. First of all, from the New Simplified Bible. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power beyond what is normal may be from God and not from ourselves. Comment on that before I read on. There's power that's way beyond normal that's in us. The power to see a dream come to pass. To have a ministry fulfilled. To have the call of God continue to develop in your life. That power is in you. You only end up with a low power life if you settle for one. I want to give you a side note. In this month's Popular Science magazine, on the cover there's a picture of this fanatic who made a set of wings that he straps on with four little jets. And this man jumps out of airplanes at 10,000 feet up in the air and literally flies with this little strap-on set of wings. Flies. And recently he was televised flying across the English Channel with this jetpack on his back. And it's wing-shaped and four little jet engines underneath of it. This man has freaked out aviators, people that are pilots, people that are parachutists, people that you know, jump out of airplanes, think he's gone over the edge. And this man is living to just keep breaking new ground in aviation. And then I'm reminded as I'm reading that article how from childhood I've always, like many, many, many other people, many of us have had that desire to just fly like Superman. This man that's featured in this month's Popular Science, and this isn't even the first magazine he's been featured in recently, he's a whole lot closer to that dream than I am. He's living my dream. And the guy's risking his life to break out of the norm in aviation. God spoke to me and said, are you willing to settle for normal ministry? Are you willing to settle for normal church? Are you willing to settle for normal Christianity? And then the Lord said, what about those dreams that I've had in your heart ever since childhood? What about this ministry dreams, these visions I've given you? He said, it's my capacity to fulfill them, but I won't fulfill them sovereignly. He said, the more you're free from fear, the bigger you believe. He said, the more you get free, the more you hunger to be free from being average. He said, the further out on the edge you're willing to go. Out on the edge of good taste. Out on the edge of what's deemed as good judgment. So I challenge you too. Don't you have some unfulfilled dreams in your life for ministry? Or something that hasn't yet come to pass? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So let's go back. Let me go back to this passage and let me just keep soaking you some more. The Rotherham translation says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Surpassing greatness means it goes beyond man's capacity. Surpassing greatness means he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. All you can ask or think, according to Ephesians 3:20, according to that power that works within you. And that's not mind power, that's spirit power that invades the mind and causes you to dream big, causes you to pray big, causes you to believe big, and takes you into a place of being at unrest when you recognize that you're willing and you're settling for living a normal, low-impact life. Christianity is not high-maintenance, low-impact living. That's not how Jesus ministered. I do not want to settle for not seeing prayers come to pass. I don't want to settle for not having needs met. Not my needs, the needs of people we're called to reach around the world. I don't want to settle for the government trying to supply something in a non-Christian mentality that the church is anointed to provide to people by the love of God. There is surpassing greatness in us. God wants you to pray big. God wants you to believe big. God wants you to see big by the Holy Spirit. Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we ask or think by that power, that divinity that's at work within us. You know, the more these truths stir me, the less I care about being refined and the less I want to be religious. I had fun hanging out with my church family in two different cities last night. It's fun. We don't have to act goofy, but we can be joyful. We can be relaxed. We can be inspired. We can be encouraged. We can enjoy, literally enjoy being with one another. That's Christianity in the flow. Hallelujah. The Wilson translation says, we have but the treasure of this in earthen vessels, so that the superabounding of the power may be of the God and not out of us. Superabounding. Superabounding. There's more than enough power to work miracles in your life every day. I'm looking at you, girlfriend. I'm coming to a seat near you. There's nothing normal about you. Nothing ordinary about you. Nothing dinky about you. Nothing puny about you. Nothing weak about you. You keep laying hands on Emma Rose until she is totally transformed and is flowing in miracle power that washes out on other people. Because God's word will not return void. You keep praying the promises of God over your household. They'll not return void. You keep declaring the prophetic word of truth into your family and into your work and over your patients and over your friends. You keep praying and declaring and prophesying the prophetic word over yourself and watch it come to pass because of the surpassing greatness of the power that's in you. The Mace translation says, "This treasure is lodged in such earthen vessels as we are, that the exceeding efficacy of it," which means greatness of it, "may appear to be from God and not from us." You know, religion wants us to think that God doesn't show off. Well, He showed off all through the Bible. And it isn't Him showing off to lord over people, it's Him showing up to set people free. Jesus told His disciples in Luke chapter 12, "It is, fear not, my little children, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom." And see, that's another transitional truth. The kingdom of God hadn't been given to men when Jesus spoke that word. But He was telling them that it was the Father's pleasure for them to have His kingdom. And now that we've been born again, we are now kings and priests. We are seated in heavenly places. All the promises of God are now yes and amen in Christ Jesus. See, that full truth takes us beyond the transitional truth that Jesus spoke of that they couldn't even fully understand. Yes, it was God's pleasure to give them His kingdom. Well, in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which loosed the new birth into the earth, into everybody that called upon the name of Jesus, that truth went from being transitional into being operational, into being revelational, and it's eternal. The kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is in you, Keith. There's nothing you need from God that's locked up in heaven. It's in you. And the authority for all the provision you need is already in you. The supply is out there, but the provision for it, the power for it, the promise for it is in you. The authority to receive it, faith, is in you. Wow. Wow. I quit listening to the goofy people who reject Jesus and prophesy economic doom. There's no doom to those that are in Christ Jesus. That money didn't disappear. The control of it is being challenged. The access to it is being challenged. But before the foundation of the world, your needs were supplied through your relationship with Jesus. And when that becomes real to you, you won't have to get mad at God. You won't have to get psyched out. You won't have to get freaked out. You won't have to panic. If every bit, as Psalm 91 or 92 says, "Though 1,000 fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my side, it shall not come near me." Psalm 91. Thank you. "Though 1,000 are laid off at my right hand and 10,000 are put out of work at my left hand, it will not come near me." Hallelujah. That's what you pray over your circumstances. Apostle Paul had a revelation and he said, "For I have known in whom I have believed." Do you believe in who you know, or do you know in whom you believe? When you're born again, you believe in who you know. You believe in Jesus, and you know He's your Savior. But when you become intimately acquainted with Him, you become persuaded in whom you have believed. You believe in who you know, and you come to know in greater measure in whom you have believed. Hey, testimony, honest to goodness. As I started to get down over my driveway again today to cut a couple more trees down, and these were not big trees, but they were big enough to, a whole lot bigger than I am. And the first tree that I started cutting, as I'm going down the driveway, I just said, "Holy Spirit, You're my protector. You are my keeper. And while I'm down there cutting this fir, and I don't have any flat ground on my property. None of it's flat. Other than once you step off my front porch, you're starting to walk on slanted ground. So down over the hill, and it was, anyway, I cut through the tree, try to push it over, and it comes back the other way. And at the very second that starts to come back this way, with a 13-pound chainsaw in one hand, my feet slip out from under me, and I end up on my back directly under the tree. And the tree's coming down. I didn't have time to say nothing. In God's wisdom and grace, there was some real thin, wiry vineage. It's the only thing I know to call it, vineage, vine wrappings that happened to be hanging on to it. And I'm laying on my back for a few seconds on the ground, chainsaw here, me looking up, and that tree suspended in midair by those little itty-bitty vines that were probably the diameter of a third the size of my little finger. I've been thanking Jesus all day long. And I took that tree down, and I drug it up my hill, and it is now prepared as firewood. But I'm telling you, that tree had a potential of maybe have all of you having to come out to my house and lay hands on me today. Hallelujah. I know. And I'm not careless in my work. You know, I'm not careless. But I don't trust in Chris for that ultimate protection. I trust in the Holy Spirit, Jesus, my daddy, and the angels of the Lord who have been sent forth, according to Hebrews 1:14, to minister for them and to them that are heirs of salvation. Back to this passage. We have this treasure in a vase of earth, that the greatness of the power might be from Aloha and not from us. That's the Etheridge translation. You ever heard God referred to as Aloha? Aloha, you know what it means by definition? Hello. Goodbye. Jesus is the Alpha, the beginning, the Omega, the actually never-ending, the beginning and the ongoing. That's what it, beginning and end, Alpha and Omega. He says hello, and actually never says goodbye to you. Aloha. The Hackett. We're going to pack it at the Hackett. The Hackett translation says, why do we have this treasure in clay jars? To show that the superior power comes from God, not from us. Jerry made an interesting observation last night. Many times when church folk read this verse, their focus is on that we're only clay vessels.